In the Old Testament reading, there's the people who are kind of stuck there. They're in a desert. I think we all know now what it's like. Got a little taste of what it's like to be in a desert with no rain, no food. I had to fix my garden. Hopefully my garden will survive. But in that experience of being in the desert, the people of Israel, for that 40 years, it took them 40 years to learn this, they need God. God is necessary for them, because without them, they couldn't have food. Without God, there is no food. And that's why Jesus points out the people here in this New Testament reading, in the Gospel reading, they're thinking as human beings do, not as God does. And that's okay. But they're thinking as human beings do. As Jesus says here, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." So it was a very human thing. There was no food. It was not a miracle of sharing, because they would have had the food, right? So there was no food. And then they had their fill. And they saw some sort of miracle. But the thing that they were focusing on was that they ate. They weren't thinking about the manna in the desert. So they weren't thinking this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves as a sign. They just said, okay, this is another miracle that Jesus did. This is great. What sign can you give us? So they weren't thinking about the sign. When the sign points to a greater reality, there's something greater here. And that's why it does the multiplication of the loaves. There's something greater here. And that's what God was trying to bring the Israelites to in the Old Testament. There's something greater here. You need me. God is saying that we need him. We need him, right? So we need God. Now imagine, I can imagine the response, you know, wives, think about your husbands. If your husband says, "You're so lucky to have me. I'm so wonderful." What kind of reaction would there be? Now, most husbands are wise enough not to say that. But the fact is, okay, we need God. You know, sometimes we get that way with God. "God, you're so lucky to have me. Look at all this wonderful stuff I do." When God doesn't owe us anything. If anything, we owe God. So we need God even today. The reason why we even know what's good and what's bad is because Jesus taught us that. Back then in the time of Israelites, they didn't even know the difference between idol worship and real worship of God. They were still worshiping the god of the gods of the Egyptians, and then the Canaanite gods maybe that they carried over into Egypt and then back. So a lot of people don't understand that real fact. God is trying to pull Israel closer to him, just as Jesus here is trying to pull us closer to him. He's trying to give us a higher intellect, a higher knowledge, to say, yes, there is a humanity here. You need food, but I'm going to use this food as a sign of the greater reality. As Jesus says a little bit later here, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave the bread from heaven." He's inferring here that it was the Father that gave them bread from heaven, not Moses. The people of Israel would go to Moses and say, "You're doing this, you're doing that." You look at even the time of Jeremiah and all the prophets. They killed the prophets. Why? Because they thought it was the prophets that were doing the things and not God who was telling the prophets to do. Otherwise, this was going to happen. There is a greater reality. God in heaven. The God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the greater reality that he's trying to point to. Now, notice what he says here right after this verse. It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. He doesn't go right in to say, it was my Father who gave you. He's insinuating that. Rather, he goes into hyperspace and he jumps forward. He makes a huge leap and he says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. This blows away the manna. Manna was merely a sign of the reality of the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Holy Eucharist. Jesus Christ himself present right here on the altar. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It says later, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, there are people who will say that Jesus was very humble. He would never pretend to be God. They've never read this then. Because Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Basically, what he's saying here is, I am the end all and be all of your being. Now, imagine if somebody came to you and said that. You'd probably laugh them out, right? I am so great. No. But Jesus is saying this. Why? Because it's true. Only God can say something like that and be true. And to be honest about that. And so God is God, and we need him. And we need him spiritually. What also happens here is we realize that this is the Eucharist. This is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as if he walked in the room. It is not just a symbol. It is not God present with the bread. It is Jesus Christ himself. What appears to be bread is no longer bread. I never call it bread once it's consecrated. Once it's consecrated, it is no longer wine, and I will never refer to it as wine because it is not wine anymore. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, in fact. And in reality, it is the blood of Christ. It's a miracle that happens. Now, I know there's a lot of other churches that say that they really believe the same thing we do. And I really believe that they believe that. But there's one major radical difference to illustrate for you. Our radical belief in what the Eucharist is, and not just what the Eucharist is, who the Eucharist is. As Jesus Christ said, this is my body, which will be given up for you. It's his being. Is, not like, or sort of, or a symbol of. But to prove this point, what do we do here at Mass, and what do we do at Adoration? We bend our knee before the host, and we worship Jesus, who is the host. So as Catholics, we bend our knee, we point to that object, and we say, I worship this. Now, if we're wrong in this teaching, if what is here on this altar, this host, is merely a symbol of Jesus, or Jesus as if he's right next to the host, but is not really the host, that would be idol worship. And all Catholics through all time will go to hell because that's idol worship. And idol worship means you go to hell. This is a radical belief in Jesus Christ and the Eucharist. What would make me as a priest willing to sacrifice my eternity and lead everybody else to hell just because I think this is some sort of thingy. What kind of doubt would I have to say, you know what, I don't want to kneel because it bothers me? You'll never hear me say that. And by golly, you never heard the apostles shrink back from praising God in the Eucharist. From all of time of Christianity, we have taught this, that it is, in fact, Jesus Christ as if he walked in the room. And they were willing to risk their eternity to say, I believe. And why do they believe? Because of the words of Jesus. This is my body. We believe this with all our hearts and souls. And why do we believe it today even more? Because as the song goes, because the Bible tells me so. And Jesus would never, ever lie. He would never tell anything that would take us away from him and worship some sort of object, some man-made object. He would always draw us closer to him. And this is, in fact, what he does do in the Eucharist. He draws us closer to him. This is the greatest belief. This is the greatest gift that Jesus Christ, when we make that step out in faith to say, yes, Lord, I believe. When you take that step out in faith, Jesus is really here. And he is able to be present to you. He's here whether you believe it or not. But now, when you believe that, you can receive the graces to be simply in his presence, to know that truly Jesus Christ has never left us. His physical presence is here. We wonder why, God, where, God, are you? Right here. His physical presence. He never left us. This is awesome. This is a beautiful thing. God never left us. He's there for us through thick and thin, physically, not just spiritually. God understood that right here. He understood that. You are looking for signs. You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves. That's our human nature. Our human nature needs physical things. We need to see his body. And when we see it here in his presence, we are comforted, we are given the consolation we need. It's kind of like when you're dating somebody, maybe your spouse or something like that. You talk on the phone. Phone is like prayer, right? But talk on the phone and say, hi, hi, how are you? Fine. And you're really not saying anything on the phone, but you're just enjoying being in the presence of the other through the phone. Or when you just go out on a date, you're not even really saying anything, but you're just enjoying the presence of the other. You just want to be in their presence, and you just enjoy that. Sometimes you see this with older couples. They'll be together, and they don't necessarily say anything, but they're just in each other's presence. And somehow, some way, the presence of the other brings grace and peace. And it's the same thing with being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Just simply being in his presence brings grace. I remember when I was a kid, we had this priest, Father Morrissey. He had a bad, really, really bad stutter. His homilies, and it was awful, just awful. I was kind of bored with it and everything. And so it wasn't the priest that made me come. It was, all I knew at that time was, when I left the church, there was peace. There was something right with the world. Everything was good. You know, I was attracted to that. I knew there was something there that kept bringing me back. And so that's the presence of Jesus. Simply being his presence. And I would encourage you to go to adoration over at St. Thomas, perpetual adoration. Go to adoration here every morning before Mass. We have adoration. Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at St. Mary's, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here at St. Joe's. We have adoration. You get to be in his presence. Come to Mass too. What a great gift that we have to be able to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is why we get to go to Mass on Sunday. It's not just another burden. Why we get to go to adoration. It's not just something we go to. I don't know about you, but I don't hear too many people complain, why do I have to eat this food? I don't want to have to eat food. I hate eating food. I don't want to eat. I hate eating. I don't know. I don't hear people, I want to eat as much as I can. And actually, if anything, I get upset because my stomach isn't big enough because I want to eat more. I want to taste everything. And that's the way we should be with Jesus Christ. I want to be with him. I want to taste the spiritual life. I want to be in his presence because that's where I'm fed. That's where I'm strengthened. As we are strengthened by our food, so we are strengthened by the presence of Jesus Christ. This is the great gift that we have. This is the grace. This is why I'm willing to sacrifice. I am willing to say, you know what? I'm going to bend my knee before Jesus Christ, who is the Eucharist. That's why I'm willing to risk condemnation, because I know that Jesus Christ is truly here, because the apostles taught it, Jesus taught it, the Bible teaches it, the church fathers teach it, the magisterium has taught it since Christianity began. I am so certain of it with faith, and it gives me consolation and peace to know that. And to leave Jesus Christ in the tabernacle, to walk out that church, and to never come back into church is to leave his physical presence. If we were to leave this church and never come back to the church and never come back to the physical presence on the altar, we are physically leaving him, which means we are leaving him. We can call through prayer. We can call him through our prayer in our homes, but we're not in his presence. It's not good enough to call grandma. We got to go to her house and visit her. If you want the joy of receiving the blueberry pies, you got to go and visit her. If you want to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, you got to go visit his physical presence. That's what you do in here in the Mass. That's what we do when we get the grace. And this is much more greater grace than blueberry pie.